produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. And as I begin to read in verse 1, I want to thank Arthur and Fred did a tremendous job. And amen, the men did a tremendous job. Man, y'all were good. Y'all were real good. And man, they up here, they just did their thing and had Maurice and Brother Tooley backing them up, man. I'm trying to tell y'all, did y'all think? Well, I tell y'all. Y'all did the doggone thing today. Amen. Y'all did it. Y'all did it. And video team, thank y'all for always being on point. Amen. Always, always. John chapter 21, this is where we begin reading, and I want to begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. I'm reading in King James Version on a day. And it reads, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, or twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. They said unto him, well, we're going to go with you. So they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught absolutely nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, do you have any meat? They answered him, nope. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Verse 7 says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they weren't far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. As soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up, drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153 fish, and for all there were so many, yet the net was not broken. I want to tag this in this continuous series of revived. We're just dealing with revived. Look at somebody shout, you're revived. You're revived. Yeah, that's what we want to talk about, revived. I want to deal with this today from the perspective of the psychological side of this. Because it says in verse 1 of chapter 21, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples in verse 1 at the Sea of Tiberias. And this is how he showed himself. Now, I don't have to go through all 20 chapters of John to let you know what has just occurred in John. You know what has happened in the last few days. And for those that don't know, let me give you the cliff notes. The Bible has given us the record that Jesus has been crucified and died on Calvary. And the Bible allows us to know that they go to the tomb and they realize the tomb is now empty. And as the tomb is empty, Jesus has gotten up. He tells his disciples to meet him in Galilee. And oh, by the way, go tell Peter to meet me as well. And now we have Jesus showing up to his disciples. And on this is the third occasion, according to John 21, verse 14, that he's shown himself to his disciples, these seven disciples specifically, because he's shown himself in the upper room. And notice Thomas was not present the first time. And then the second time he shows himself. And in verses, John 20, verses 20 through 24, he shows himself and says, listen now, reach hither into the wounds of the nail prints and the scars that are in me. And he basically repeats what Thomas has said early on in John 20 about him not being present, except I can see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my fingers in. In other words, Jesus says to them, even though I was absent, I still was present. Sometimes you got to let people know that even though I wasn't there, I still was there. And you got to know right now that in your life that God, even though he seems as though he's absent, I need somebody to know that as absent as God seems in your life right now, he's present in your life. Somebody needs to know that God is present in my life. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. Don't know what you're going through. But regardless of what you're dealing with, as absent as God seems in your life, he's present. Look at somebody shout, he's still present. So the Bible says in John 21, before I get sidetracked, he says, after these things, after all that, notice what he does. He shows himself again. Okay, y'all don't know when to shout. The Bible is filled with shouting material. In verse 1, he says, after these things, he showed himself again. Y'all still don't get it. Okay. Let me help you out. After everything you've been through in your life, after everything you've gone through, after everything that has happened, the good news is God shows himself again. Y'all think y'all gonna make me work today? Okay. Let me see if I can make that clear. You gotta understand that I know you experienced tragedy in your life. I know you felt as though that what happened to you should not have happened to you. I know you feel as though that should not have happened to you. You pay your tithe. You trust God. You come to church. You're here this morning. You not only come for Easter, you come the fourth Sunday in April, and you don't understand why that had to happen to you. But the good news is that regardless of what happened, I need you to get clear in your mind that God shows himself again. Somebody needs to know he shows himself again. After all these things that has happened in your life, he shows himself again. Many of us, we don't know when to shout because we shout about the wrong stuff. You better learn how to shout about the word of God. Because if you can't shout on the word of God, the pure word of God, listen, any illustration and application I give, it means nothing. But the word of God is what we got to learn how to be appreciative of. And verse 1 says in chapter 21, after all these things, he shows himself again. Look at somebody shout, again. I thank God for again. I thank God that God shows himself again. I thank God after everything that has happened, that he shows himself again. And somebody needs to type it in this morning on your Facebook and YouTube. He showed himself again. Is there anybody here that knows he shows himself again? Shows himself again. Shows himself again. And notice as he shows himself again, notice he shows himself again to the disciples. And notice where it is. It's at the Sea of Tiberias. Sea of Tiberias, because notice in verse 2, Simon, Thomas, the twin, Nathaniel, James and John, and two other disciples. I don't have time to parse who it was, but notice what happens in verse 3. Simon leads a revolt back to what they've been delivered from. He leads a revolt for them to go back to what they once knew because they are comfortable with it.
Okay. Let me see if I can break this down just for a second. There are times in your life that what's comfortable is convenient for you. In other words, it's easier for me to go back to this relationship that I know, because I know what I'm getting over here. I don't know what I'm getting over there. And many of us, it's easier to go back to what God has delivered us from. You got to realize that no matter how good they look, they still got the same problem. Don't make me call your name this morning. No matter how well they smell, they still got some screws unloose upstairs. Okay, I know that was too hard for some of y'all. So you got to understand that it's convenient for us to go back to what we've been converted from. And notice what they do. Simon says, I'm going fishing. In verse 3, they say, we going with you. Going with you. And the Bible says they go forth, they enter the ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. Okay, they didn't have to think about whether they were going fishing. This is what gets me, Brother Ray. They didn't have to have a vote whether they were going to go back to where they were delivered from. Darren, this is what really messes me up, that they didn't have to sit down and draw straws of whether or not they were going to go back to what God has delivered them from. They automatically knew, Denisha, that they were going to go back to go fishing. Notice what happened. Peter goes and all of them go with him. They do not say, no, we waiting on Jesus, because Jesus has been resurrected. We're waiting on the Messiah to come and give us instructions. The Bible says that he lets them go back to where they once knew. Could it be that God is allowing you to go back so that you can take two steps backwards so that he can move you three steps forward? Somebody in here needs to understand that. Notice they go back to fishing. Notice what verse 3 says. That night, guess what they catch? Absolutely, positively, nothing. Let me tell you, anytime you go against the grain of what God has assigned for you to go, you do know you're going to catch. I'm talking to somebody in here right now, that you think you're going to catch something. You think you're going to be profitable. You think this is going to propel you ahead. But with your sneaky self, you do understand that the more you try to outsmart God, that God already knows what he's going to allow you to go through. And he knows what he's going to do. You just keep on doing what you're going to do, because you're going to catch absolutely. You know what? I'm gonna get pregnant, and he gonna want me over that other baby mama. And you know what you gonna get? Nothing. Oh, I'm gonna make her love me. She's going to love me like she ain't never loved nobody else. And I'm going to give it to her like nobody ain't never gave it to her before, because she ain't had it like she going to get it from me. And after you give her your best performance, when she gets up the next morning, she's going to leave, and you are going to be left with absolutely, positively. There are some of us that need to understand, we've been trying to do it our way, and the more you try to do it your way, the more you're going to get absolutely. No, notice Peter says, you know what? We're getting ready to go fishing. And they go fishing immediately. Verse 3, And that night, they caught nothing. Now, notice, that night they caught nothing. And in verse 4, when the morning was now come, Jesus is standing on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. How do you not know the person you walked 3 years with? How do you not recognize his image? How do you not understand the way he holds his hands to the side? How do you not see how the burrows in his face? How do you not understand that the muscles that are rippling from his shirt? How do you not understand Jesus? You know his stature and his physique, and you do not recognize who Jesus is. Maybe they didn't recognize him because of the predicament they were in. There are times that life will put you in some predicaments that not only will you not be able to recognize Jesus, you won't be able to recognize yourself. I notice what happens. The Bible says in verse 4, when the morning was now come, Jesus is standing on the shore, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. You just saw him just 8 days ago. What do you mean you don't know him? You didn't recognize him? What do you mean? I don't understand how in the world they didn't know him, but maybe they didn't recognize him because pain has a way of getting internally in you that it affects your external. And that leads me to a major point that you need to thank God on today, that God keeps your external from being your internal. Everything that has happened to you, you ought to thank God that what has happened to you has not contaminated the inside of you. I mean, truth be known, it's stuff that has happened to you that ought to make you not like people. Okay, let me get you into the psychology side of this, and I got to give you these five things, these five points, and then I'm gonna roll on and give you my last point, and I got to close out. Five soul wounds that all of us deal with when dealing with emotional pain. Five soul wounds, and you can write these down. I don't have time to go through them like I need to, but I just want to kind of brow brush them and give them to you. You can study them on your own, look them up later on. Five soul wounds. All of us deal with at least three of them. Okay. Number one, rejection. Shout rejection. Rejection. Rejection says, as a child, if you receive compliments and attention, it was only by conforming to your parents' standards. Rejection's mask is that you are withdrawn. So if you're taking notes, you can just write, compliments as a child, only if I did what my parents wanted me to do. And then you can write, the mask of that is that you suffer with being withdrawn. As an adult, you want to be perfect in order to feel loved. And the slightest criticism of what you do calls into question your whole being. Listen to this. The person suffering from rejection wounds is normally discreet, withdrawn, and elusive because they never want to feel it again. Here's a major one. They have low self-esteem and are never satisfied with what they do. You compliment on anything, and they have a way of saying, well, it was all right, it sucked. Okay, let me move on. They are convinced that their existence does not matter to others. But to overcome rejection, all you have to have is self-acceptance. Self-acceptance says, I accept myself. In other words, I don't need anyone else, and that's not arrogance. I don't need anyone's approval. I accept who I am. Look at somebody, tell them, accept who you are. Okay, that's number one. That's number one, rejection. Shout rejection. But then number two, there's abandonment. Shout abandonment. Now, I got to run through it. Here's abandonment. Abandonment says that as a child, you lack nourishment and emotional warmth. You wasn't supported in your expectations. And the mask to this one is dependency. Okay, let me go a step further. The mask is dependency. As an adult, the person with an abandonment issue wound has great difficulty functioning on their own. They need to be cared for. They seek advice and support from those around them to be at the center. You see people that always got a problem, and they always want to be the center of attention. Okay? They tend to merge in relationships to enter into others' emotions, to listen to their problems, to bring the problems back to themselves. Now, remember, I told you, all of us deal with at least three of these. And while you're sitting there, you're saying, no, he ain't hit me yet. That means these next three are definitely you. If you fell asleep on one, you go back and listen, I'm certain you fit in one of these, in three of these at least. You overcome abandonment simply by loving yourself. Gotta love yourself. If no one loves you, you feel don't mind love you, love yourself. If you're not your biggest fan, be your biggest fan. I know that goes against everything that we believe. Here's number three, humiliation. Shout humiliation. Humiliation is, it happened as a child, you felt humiliated by an incident or situation that occurred with your parents. You were humiliated. Whatever that was, you think about it and you know it was something that humiliated you. And it normally started as a child. All these are derivatives of childhood. The mask on this one is the pain, is pain or degradation. In other words, they degrade themselves, degrade, or put themselves in painful situations. Okay, as an adult, the person suffering from humiliation wound makes every effort to be busy by helping their loved ones. Believing oneself indispensable encourages one's ego in its development. In other words, if I make myself where you need me, I feed into my self-ego. That's why I always tell pastors and preachers, never allow people to make you a god. You always direct people to God. If my ego needs to be fed as a pastor, I'm suffering from humiliation. Let me close this one out. So you got to move your ego out of the way. You overcome humiliation by having self-respect. Do you respect your own boundaries? That's why it's certain phone calls I can reject. That's why it's certain things I can say no to. I don't lose no sleep over it. I don't have a please me attitude to everybody. And I need you to hear me clearly, because if you try to please everybody, you yourself will be unpleased. You're thinking about it now, huh? You thinking about some of the times you said yeah that you should have said no. You thinking about some of the times you loaned the money and didn't get it back. Now you all on Facebook scrolling talking about some, they went out to dinner. Can you believe they went out to dinner? They went out to dinner. They just got $40 from me and they all out of, why are they all out to dinner eating steak? Where my $40 at? Now you got to look at that as you donated to their dinner. And you got to move on from that. Look at somebody tell me, you got to move on from that. No, you got to move on from that. Because if you don't, it's going to blow up into something. Okay, let me move on. You got to have self-respect. Put up your boundaries. But here's number four, betrayal. I told you, all of us deal with at least three of these. All of us. And as I'm looking at people, I can tell what yours are. I've talked to you, been around you long enough. I know what yours are. Here's number four, betrayal. As a child, you suffered from not having expectations fulfilled by your parents. Did I go over that? Felt betrayed or manipulated. In other words, your parents manipulated you. You got to stay here with mama because we ain't got nobody else to do it. But I want to go to the dance. No, you can't go to the dance, baby. We need you to stay with mama. You the only one that can do it. How am I the only one that can do it? I'm 8 years old. So you felt betrayed or manipulated. Here's what betrayal's mask is. Write it down. The mask is you got to be in control now. In every situation, you got to be in control. Stay with me. Don't turn off. Stay with me because I'm helping somebody. Got to be in control. Okay? Notice, as an adult, they tend to believe themselves indispensable and to think that others cannot succeed without them. Sounds like the last one, doesn't it? Maintains this wound by the lack of trust in others. In other words, they don't trust nobody. Everybody's suspect. Everybody out to get them. Everybody out to do something to them. They think they help. FBI is outside of their house. Y'all ever talk to somebody? I've talked to folk. The FBI outside my house, they watching every move I make. And you sitting there like, what they want from you? I'm on the table leaning in like, well, what's wrong? What you do? I mean, think about it. You know people like this. Some of you are here today. Some of you are watching me online. Some of you are watching me on TV. That you feel somebody's always after you. You like that old song, somebody's watching me and I have no privacy. Oh. Okay. You overcome betrayal by being loyal to yourself and to your principles. Sounds like the other one. But I gotta be loyal to myself. What are the principles I've put out? In other words, if I have rules and regulations that I've marked out, am I going to abide by those rules? One of my rules is I don't loan out money. I'll give it to you, but I ain't loaning no money out. Because if I loan it out, I have an expectation that you're going to return it. But if I give it to you, don't nobody call me for no money. Look at somebody, tell them, don't call them for no money. But when I give it, I ain't worried about, and I'm never going to give you something that I can't lose. If giving you $50 is my part of my rent money at the end of the week, you ain't getting it, baby. It's common sense. I love you, but my principles of loyalty to myself says I need that $50 to make rent at the end of the week. And I cannot trust you to bring my money back by the end of this week. Okay, let me move on. Here's number five, injustice. Shout injustice. It's the last soul wound, injustice. As a child, you suffered from the coldness of your parents. You could not express yourself according to sensitivity from which they ended up cutting themselves off. You forced yourself to be perfect, blocking the expression of your individuality. In other words, you were afraid to fail. That's why you see people that made straight A's all the way through school doing nothing with their life now. It's because of injustice. Somebody made them do it, and now their life, they are going around blaming everybody else for their failures. The mask of this one, injustice, people are rigid and hard. Gotta be hard all the time. Gotta be rigid. Now listen, as an adult, they seek to conform to the idea that they have set for themselves or that they believe is expected of them, always showing themselves to be positive, though rigid, not very capable of establishing a satisfactory intimate relationship. In other words, the reason why you can't commit and be intimate to people is because of injustice. You're waiting for the other shoe to drop. The person who suffers from this wound of injustice seeks to show good weather and to be perfect in all circumstances. Always showing themselves neat and attractive, even when they are tired, they continue to look lively and vibrant. They appear optimistic and positive and rarely experience problems. You overcome injustice simply by, and I'm telling you, because this is my major one, I can stand and testify. You overcome injustice by simply having forgiveness. Listen to what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is never for others. Forgiveness is for you. Okay? So God keeps your external from being your internal. Here's my last one. Don't react to the moment and miss the miracle. I'm done. That's my last point. So you got first point was God keeps your external from being your internal. You got the five soul wounds. You got all five of those. But here's the closing point. Don't react to the moment and miss the miracle. Notice, they go fishing. I'm back in the Bible now. They go fishing. As they go fishing, they catch nothing that night. Look at somebody, tell them if you like the Bible now, he through teaching, come on. You know, I have some people just want me to preach for, you know, they want me to just preach. They want me to holler at them the whole service. Ah, yeah, what'd he say? I don't know, but he hollered. You know. You got some people like that. So you got to mix it up. You got to do both, yeah. Because some people leave and they say, well, did he preach? No, he ain't talk about nothing. I just gave you some good stuff. Sister Cash, we're sitting there writing away. I mean, I gave you some good stuff here today. Best material. But notice, don't react to the moment and miss the miracle. The moment is, you don't know where Jesus is. He hadn't shown up in a few days. But please, don't miss the miracle. If you react to the moment of what you're dealing with, you will miss the miracle of what God is about to do. Bible says they go fishing, they catch nothing. And notice, Jesus shows up in verse 5 and he says, do you have any meat? They said, no, we ain't got none. We ain't catch nothing. He says in verse 6, cast your net on the right side. Now notice, they could have said, we've been out here all night. Because many of us, we got a mouth on us. Many of us, we would have told Jesus what we've been through. Jesus, you don't understand. Listen, we've been fishing all night, and it wasn't nothing on the left side or the right side. We was on the front and the left and the back, and it ain't been nothing to the front or the back, and we ain't doing nothing else. We ready to come in. Don't miss your miracle. He says, put the net on the right side. Now, if you ever been fishing, I know they had a nice boat size, but listen, the water is the water. I don't know about you, fish or just fish. The net being on the left side should not have made any difference whether it was on the left side, right side, front or back. But somehow Jesus knew that if you put it on the right side. And listen, I don't think the fish was in it. Listen, the fish could have been on the left side had Jesus told him to put the net on the left side. It could have been on the front side had he told him to put it on the front side. But Jesus just wanted them to be obedient to what he was saying. I'm trying to help somebody today, because you're trying to argue back. Well, God, I don't understand why I got to give to church. I don't understand why I got to serve you. I don't understand why I got to pray to you. Well, all you got to do is do what God says and watch what God does. Don't you miss the miracle. The Bible says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you will find. Cast, and now they're not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Okay, some stuff stinks. There's some stuff in life that just stinks. Last Sunday, Nashville, Tennessee, at the Nashville International Airport, real international airport, where they got international flights going in and out of Nashville. Nashville International Airport, where the flights are cheaper in Nashville. Last Sunday, they had an obnoxious smell in the airport. They didn't know where it was coming from. They didn't know where it derived from. They just knew it was an obnoxious smell, and people started reporting it. And the airport security people reported they were having breathing troubles, and it caused a complete ground stoppage in Nashville. Nashville Fire Department came out. They shut the airport down. After carefully investigating, they found a substance that was used with furniture polish that the cleaning crew was using in part of the airport. And the smell somehow got picked up in the air vents and was just taken all over the airport, and it caused a ground stop. No flights were able to land. None were able to go out. It was a total ground stoppage. All because something didn't smell right. Somebody needs to know in your life, you might not be going forward because you got some stuff that stinks in your life. You trying to blame everybody else, but it's some stuff in your life that stinks. You know, it amazes me, and I don't want to waste that illustration, but I need to stay right there for a second because somebody needs to know that it's amazing to me. We'll say, I can't make friends on this job. I can't make friends at this church. I can't make friends with these folks. Listen, maybe it ain't them. Maybe it's you. Because I can guarantee you, if you ain't made friends in three churches you went to, and you go to a fourth church and still can't make friends, it ain't the church, baby. Let me help you out. All you got to do is go home and look in the mirror. The problem is you. I hear folk all the time saying, I don't understand why folk ain't friendly. You got the most unfriendliest face that anybody could have. And you want to say, how come ain't nobody friendly to you? If you learn how to smile, open up your mouth, be available, you'll learn that people want you to be around. You got an obnoxious smell and you got ground stoppage in your life. Could it be that's what Peter was experiencing, was the obnoxious smell of not being obedient to God? And that's why he had ground stoppage in his life and he couldn't catch fish that night. But Jesus comes and clears up the air. Throw the net on the right side. They put the net on the right side. And when they throw the net in the right side, notice what happens. They threw the net on the right side. And as soon as they throw the net in, all of a sudden fish start swimming and jumping. Peter looks over and says, we got a hole, y'all. They start tugging and Peter has to jump in, takes his fisherman coat off, and he's naked because he's literally at wit's end. Let me help you out. When you get at wit's end, you'll learn how to take some stuff off in your life. When you get at wit's end, you'll learn how to take off judgment. You'll learn how to take off past experiences. You'll learn how to take off what happened in your life. When you get, listen, you got to learn how to take it off. Look at somebody shout, take it off. Takes it off, jumps in the water. And he begins to drag the net. And Jesus is there. He's got a fire going. And as he's got the fire, he's there, the net with the fish is now on the seashore. And they began taking those fish out and counting fish, huge fish, as they're putting them out on the beach as the sun is rising that morning. You can see on the shore as those fish are now counted, and they count 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 80, 90, 120, 140, 150, 153 fish. Count up 153. And I believe the number is given because God wants us to know you can always count on him. I'm done. End of sermon. You can always count on God. I know many of us don't understand that, but don't react to the moment and miss your miracle. Because when you count on God, God knows how to show up in your situation. Look at somebody and shout, show up. He'll show up in your life. Somebody knows he'll show up. Just like he showed up on Calvary, he'll show up in your situation. Like he showed up at the borrowed tomb of Jesus, he'll show up in your situation. Just like he showed up for Moses at the Red Sea, he'll show up in your situation. Just like he showed up for David with Goliath, he'll show up in your situation. Is there anybody here that knows he'll show up for me? Why don't you just look at somebody and shout, God will show up. He'll show up. Yes, he will. He'll show up for you. I'll see y'all next week, but is there anybody here that knows? He'll show up for you. That's all I got, but he will show up for you. If I was going to close, that'll be a good key to close on today. He will show up. Why don't you look at somebody and shout, he will show up. Is there anybody here that knows? He will show up. Why don't you just look at somebody and shout, I don't know what you've been through, but I do know the Lord will show up. He's shown up for me in the past. And since the Lord has shown up for me, is there anybody here that knows he will show up for you? Why don't you grab somebody by the hand and tell them, I don't know what you've been going through, but I do know the Lord. I said the Lord, he will. Anybody here know he will? Shout, he will. Come on, do it in your preaching, boys. And shout, he will. He will show up for you. Shout, make sure my voice was clear. Is there anybody here that know he will? Say, yeah. It's clear. He will do it for you. Come on, just look at somebody. Shout, he will show up for you. Come on, look at somebody, tell them ain't nothing wrong with his voice today. He will show up for you. Shucks, it ain't nothing wrong, so let me do it. He will show up for you. Say, ah!
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.